AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, a new day on FFC begins. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. 1 hour together up until 1 p.m. Eastern time to look back on the final day of two in Las Vegas at Big 12 Media Day. Some more college football news around the country as well. We had Pac-12 after hours with the Beavs and Cougs, the forgotten two of now the Pac-2 conference that we will talk about today as well. Mountain West Media Day is continuing in Las Vegas. The preseason poll is now out for what is considered one of the better non-power conference leagues in the country. And Joe, we've got some NFL news to start the show today as well. Glad to have you back here on FFC.
Oh, yeah, and hopefully a lot of college football talk. This is what it's all about. That's my saying. We're now well into less than 2 months away from the start of the season. We saw the Big 12. We saw what's left of the Pac-12 last night in regards to Oregon State and Washington State. Both of those teams look to have successful seasons. And ultimately, Ben, in terms of the futures market and how we look at just the futures from the conference championships and, more importantly, the college football playoff, you could sort of gauge a little about which teams are really dialed into the season and potentially maybe which teams or head coaches are checked out. I have to be honest with you, just listening to Kyle Whittingham, not all that bought into Cam Rising in Utah this year.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, Joe, because there was a lot of conversation around the Utes and how they feel about playing in the Holy War with their new conference opponents once again, that being BYU. But, Joe, let's start in the National Football League. Some tidying up of some news that just came down within the last half an hour or so before we devote the rest of our time to college football. The Tennessee Titans have agreed to a deal with free agent safety Jamal Adams, a seven-year veteran in the National Football League. Adams spent the past 4 years out in the Pacific Northwest as a member of the Seattle Seahawks. He was let go by the Seahawks at the end of last season, now making his way to Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he could come back to when he played in terms of Baton Rouge and the LSU Tigers. Certainly he had a huge upside, but up until this point in his career, Ben, with the Jets and Seattle Seahawks, he has failed to live up to expectations. What he brings Tennessee is maybe veteran, I want to say leadership, but even then, in terms of the respective teams that he was a part of, never really evolved as that emotional and locker room type of guy. So, we'll see. Maybe they can catch lightning in a bottle, but right now, in terms of the dollars and cents, it's not a huge ask, but hopefully he could bounce back to have a solid season.
Yeah, he's not exactly the productive player that he was following his rookie
campaign with the New York Jets in his next 3 years in the NFL. Of course, back in 2019, or I guess ahead of the 2020 NFL season, when the Seattle Seahawks acquired Jamal Adams and traded a huge haul for him, it was big news around the NFL. The Seahawks sent two first-rounders to the New York Jets for Jamal Adams, and then a year later gave him a four-year, $70 million extension to make him the NFL's highest-paid safety. But he hasn't necessarily lived up to that bidding. He's been an AP All-Pro first-team performer once in his career, his final year, 2019, in New York. He ran to three straight Pro Bowls in 18 through 20, including his debut year in Seattle. That first year in Seattle, he had 9.5 sacks. That's a record around the National Football League for a defensive back. But since that point, Joe, in the next 3 years, Jamal Adams hasn't recorded a single sack. In fact, in his NFL career, as a defensive back, as a safety, only four total interceptions, and he hasn't had an INT either of the past 2 years. He also hasn't played a lot the last 2 years, just 10 total games in 2022 and 2023. So Tennessee hoping he can get back to what he used to be in 2018, 19, and 20, but that's a far cry, I would say, at this moment.
It is, and I was just going to say, when you said the games that he's played in, only 10 out of 34, right, in back-to-back seasons, or 33, right? What do you think the under and over is for this year? Total amount of games that he could play for the Tennessee Titans, 5.5? Is that an ask? I mean, would you bet over? I wouldn't. I mean, it's a shame, but once you're an older player and you sustain, you know, season-long injuries or injuries that curtail your career where you can't consistently be out there on the football field, I don't know how much of an ask Tennessee is expecting. You know, again, if you could get Jamal Adams, I'd say for 15 to 17 games through the regular season, that's a win right there. And then let's see what we can get in terms of interceptions and turnovers and maybe bouncing back to be a good player. Can he be an elite player? I don't believe so. But again, you know, if he could fill a need on the cheap, that's what you want for Tennessee right now, because they have huge cap problems in regards to, they're in a major rebuild. I hate to say that, but even with Will Levis, this team needs to evolve and have an identity offensively and defensively.
Well, Lisi, that's the really interesting thing about Tennessee, and that was going to lead into the next part of the conversation. They're kind of acquiring these big-name players. Jamal Adams, based on the production that we just told you, even the availability, just 10 games in the last 2 years combined, is more so a notable signing because of his name and what he used to do as compared to what he has done the last few seasons. But Tennessee's made some interesting moves this offseason, at least in my estimation. They give the big deal to Calvin Ridley. Even after letting Derrick Henry walk, they pay a running back in Tony Pollard, despite having Tyjae Spears under his rookie deal for his second season after a productive rookie campaign, kind of as the compliment to the King. You would have thought it was a fully rebuild year with a new head coach in Brian Callahan to kind of see what you maybe had in your second year quarterback in Will Levis, but they've made a couple of moves, I would say, that would at least allow you to believe that Tennessee might be trying to at least stay relatively competitive, not just settling on their fate that they're going to be toward the bottom half of the AFC. The Titans' win total right now is 6.5, Joe, and the under does have the substantial juice at minus 134. They have the fourth and longest price in an AFC South division that 2 years ago they were in the running to win before stumbling down the stretch, dropping their final six games, allowing Jacksonville to come back. And 3 years ago, Joe, the 2021 NFL campaign, Tennessee won the division and was the number one overall seed in the AFC postseason. How quickly things have turned in Nashville, it's this weird kind of gray limbo area, I believe, for this Titans franchise.
It really is. And again, you have a team that was a ground and pound type of team, didn't have a lethal passing attack, right, with Tannehill and Malik Willis. And even when Will Levis played, there were good, you know, glimpses, but not enough. And they relied on defense. And now they have Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears, not a power running game. The passing attack is suspect at best right now. They bring in Ridley, another aging star, you could say. had a very good season with Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence. Can he maintain that next year? Only time will tell. They got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, and I believe the defense isn't that great. So again, now if they don't have it with Will Levis, they have multiple problems with a first-year head coach, and that is something, again, that they are still 2 or 3 years away from, in my estimation, even being a contender in the division.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe, and there's still a lot to figure out. I think the number one thing for Tennessee to evaluate this year is Will Levis, but of course you want to provide some pieces around Will Levis. When you look at their depth chart as of right now, I mean, you have Calvin Ridley after a good year in Jacksonville. You have Tyjae Spears and Tony Pollard in the backfield. You retain DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd back and reunited with his former offensive coordinator in Cincinnati in their new head coach in Brian Callahan. Is Treylon Burks going to do anything? We shall see. The offensive line is solid. There's a couple of pieces to like for the Titans, but I think they're kind of operating, again, in that limbo area. All right, enough of the NFL. It's kind of quiet anyway. It's time for some college football conversations. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle, the final day of two in Las Vegas for Big 12 Media Days. Lisey's reactions up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisa Guy, you haven't been here the last few days, and how dearly you have been missed, because Tuesday and Wednesday, Big 12 Media Days in Las Vegas. We had day number one. Mike Gundy was the star of the show, a little peel back behind the scenes. Lisa Guy and I text all the time. We were sending each other quote after quote from what Mike Gundy had to say on Tuesday there in Las Vegas. On Wednesday, Joe, the story of the show, but not because of anything idiotic. In fact, I thought Deion Sanders, who was the star of the show, had a lot of truthful things to say on Wednesday. Of course, all the focus, notoriety, and attention that is paid to Colorado, that starts at Media Days with the man known as Prime, Deion Sanders. Year number two in Boulder for Deion Sanders and his crew. And of course, Joe, at the podium, anything Deion says is going to become big national news and talking points. But unlike Mike Gundy, Joe, again, I thought Deion had some really great points yesterday. He was asked about how he judges success and what is expected of Colorado because he is the head coach. He said, my wins mean more. You guys take more from my wins than just a football game, than just an actual win. And Deion's right, Joe. Every win or every game that Colorado plays in comes with its own narrative and storyline. If they win, it feels like a significant win. If they lose, it becomes a point of conjecture, and a lot of people point fingers and say, told you so. That's because Deion has brought on this attention and focus and understands that and relishes that, but it's the reality, and I thought Deion Sanders made some really good points yesterday at the podium entering year two.
Yeah, he did, and he congratulated a lot of the programs from welcoming in Colorado into the Big 12 and back into the Big 12. And, you know, he has an affinity to Coach McGuire with Texas Tech that coached his son in terms of high school. And you're right. I mean, he's a polarizing player and coach, right? One of the best college players to ever play the game at the position, a Hall of Famer in his respective career in college and the NFL. And all eyes are on him. And all eyes are on him as well. He took over a program that was down and out, right? They were down and out after Carl Durrell, and he brought optimism. He brought, you know, media hype. He brought JUCO and transfer talent there. And, of course, they knock off, you know, a team that went to the national championship 2 years ago in week one with a body of a roster that nobody knew how they were going to perform in terms of the the early part of the season. And they won as a 20.5-point dog, and it continued straight through the win in Nebraska. So that's why there's all eyes on Deion. And granted, he wants that as well. Deion's a guy that loves the limelight. He brings it on. He can handle it. And it's his job to elevate this program. We keep going back to the same thing, though, Ben. What is the body of work? What is the blueprint? Is his vision 3 to 5 years down the road for Colorado? Or is his blueprint, you know what, have to make it successful this year so I could bolt in year 3 and 5 to a bigger and better deal?
Yeah, you know, that is a really good point, Joe. We've had that conversation multiple times, right? What is success this year for the Buffs? Is it a one-win team in the final year in 2022 under Carl Durrell, getting to 6 wins in year number 2 under Deion Sanders, as the odds would indicate from the win total, and be able to get to bowl eligibility? That is the question. Joe, also yesterday, Deion Sanders was asked about the season opener that the Buffaloes have scheduled against North Dakota State. An FCS team, sure, but NDSU is an FCS powerhouse. They have won multiple national champions in the last 10 years. I'm pretty sure they've won 5 of the last 9 FCS national titles at that level of college football. They're a team that probably could beat a lot of FBS programs, either at the power level or at the group of 5 level. And it's a game that many people have circled and said, oh my God, I can't believe CU decided to start year number 2 of the prime era with NDSU. The Bison only an 8.5-point underdog. I mean, last year, Colorado was a 3-touchdown underdog against the reigning national runner-ups. TCU went into Fort Worth and won that game, stunning all of the college football realm. So it's not like they're used to cupcake openers, but Deion even called out his own AD, jokingly, Rick George yesterday, saying, you couldn't have scheduled me an easy win. You couldn't have scheduled me a cupcake to get this season started. And again, Deion's telling no lies.
Yeah, I mean, North Dakota State, I mean, come on, we know about the pedigree in terms of when Chris Klieman was there and even prior to that and even after that. Easton Stick and Quincy Patterson all played there, and this is a team that's going to come to knock off Colorado. We know that. They're a 7.5-8-point dog, and they're within striking distance. If they get Colorado into their type of game, run the football, ball control, and keep Shedeur Sanders on the sidelines, they're going to be in it, right? We know about the physicality for North Dakota State, offense and defense lines, that's where they make their headway. So again, and that is the weakness, at least up until last year, with the Buffs. They couldn't run the football, they gave up a lot of sacks, and the defense could not stop the run for much of the regular season. If that doesn't change, unfortunately, they're not getting over 5.5 wins, and they potentially could lose week 1 right out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely so. And it's a very different schedule this year for Colorado. We'll talk about their win totals in just a moment. There was also some news made, not necessarily by Deion Sanders, and I'm not entirely sure how inflammatory this quote that kind of was taken a little bit out of context and caught some steam yesterday was, from Deion's son and his quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, who was asked, Joe, about his level of expectation and rising to the occasion as Deion is tasked with doing. And he referenced what was expected and all the attention that was paid to their team at Jackson State at the HBCU level in the SWAC, and of course what carried over to Boulder last year. And Shedeur Sanders pretty much said, we know that we're every team's Super Bowl. When you're 4-8 and you had 8 teams win a Super Bowl championship, that's not exactly the best phrase to use, but Shedeur is correct that Colorado gets everybody's best shot, which is not often the case for a mediocre team. If you're playing Alabama or Ohio State or Oregon, some of these perennial powerhouses, each and every week, your opponent is getting up. That target is on your back. They are gunning for you. That's not often the case for a team that won a single game in 2022 or had a losing record last year. We'll talk about that discussion up next here as we focus on Colorado on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, I'm bringing up the soundbite that Shedeur Sanders had yesterday meeting with the media in Las Vegas at Big 12 Media Day, saying that we're everybody's Super Bowl, that Colorado gets everybody's best shot, which he's not necessarily wrong with saying. You just don't expect that out of the quarterback of a 4-8 team. But it's the attention that Colorado demands, and thus everybody gets up, even for a team that was below 500 a season ago. What did you make of Shedeur Sanders' comments?
Again, you know, he's right, and Deion's right. Again, it comes with the territory, though, is that they are a program that, you know, they want to be successful. They want to be the best ones. They want everybody in college football to say, look at me. But when things go wrong, you still have to be willing to say, you know what, we screwed up. We didn't play our best. We can handle it, and we'll bounce back. They did not show that, Ben, in the early part of last year, right? They started with a bang, 3-0, and all of a sudden, it's like once they lost that ability to be undefeated, it's like they threw away the season. They were walking through the motions. And I understand the competition got a little bit better, but at that particular time, they were still and had an opportunity to become bowl eligible. That was the biggest thing, especially in terms of year number one. That would have been a huge jump in regards to that. They did overexceed expectations from the win total perspective, but you still have to be able to take it. If you're an elite player, Shiloh and Shedeur, and you want to be a first-round draft pick, top five, top 10, whatever, including Travis Hunter, you have to be able to back it up on the field, but you also have to show it off the field, not let these comments from other players' teams get the best of you, because then that could take you right out of your game plan.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that's the interesting thing, Joe, right? Colorado was 1-11 under Carl Durrell last year. Deion Sanders knew there was going to be so much notoriety when he took over the job entering 2023. We saw that reflected in their first loss of the year, Dan Lanning, and how much Oregon took it personally on behalf of college football to put an end to the best story in September around the country. CU's 3-0 start with victories over TCU, Nebraska, and in the Rocky Mountain Showdown against Colorado State. Then USC beat them in a high-scoring affair the following week. Colorado got its last win of the year the very first Saturday of October against Arizona State. They never won again. They lost their final six games. You get everybody's shot, but normally, Joe, when you think about a target on a back, it's the likes of Georgia. It's the likes of Florida State. It's the likes of Ohio State or Michigan or insert X powerhouse. Colorado is not that, which makes it a very difficult hill to climb if you are the Buffs for your own level of success. Because if nobody is overlooking you, you can't be that plucky underdog that no longer comes out of nowhere. Nobody is going to be caught up from behind by Colorado, surprised that the Buffs are going to be on their schedule. You circle that game. But when you're a team that, frankly, last year was just 4-8, you don't have the roster talent or the production that you do at the likes of an Alabama or so. And that makes it difficult to win football games. It's just the reality.
It does. And again, that's where Deion has to take over. And again, he is the face of that program. And that's why I say it ultimately comes down to his biggest challenge is looking himself in the mirror and saying, I want to be here like Bill McCartney and build the program to the pinnacle of college football circa 1989 and 1990. And I want to potentially bring a national championship to Colorado. Or I want to use this program as another stepping stone to potentially another job where then I'll look to build the foundation and be there 5 to 10 seasons. That is ultimately the biggest test, but it does come down. Their team's success, even though the players play it on the field, it comes down to Deion Sanders and his approach in the locker room to what he's telling his team, because again, that makes or breaks them. If he's telling them we have to win at all costs this year, that tells you everything you need to know, Ben.
And then, Joe, I think it gets really complicated when you talk about success. We've had this conversation, so if it sounds redundant between us, I think it's fair, but it's now with Colorado just wrapping up its first Big 12 media days in Las Vegas. 5.5 is the win total for the Buffaloes. The over has the juice at minus 158. If that is the expected outcome from the odds makers' perspective, CU is back in a bowl game, reaching bowl eligibility. That would be year-over-year improvement in the deal. Deion Sanders era, that would be more wins this season, 6, than the Buffs had the previous 2 combined, only 5. A 1-win program in 2022 into a bowl game in 2024, people would sign up for that. But if it's a program coached by Deion Sanders, is the expectation different? We talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Is bowl eligibility going to be enough to be considered a success for Deion Sanders and Colorado in year number 2? Lisi, let's ask that question simply before we play it in the narrative pool. What would you say? Is 6 wins for Colorado going over their win total of 5.5 where the juice is at minus 158? Is that a successful season?
I think it is. Again, no matter whether Deion leaves or not, it's a successful season. When Carl Durrell was there and they won 1 game, at one point in the regular season, they were giving up over 300 rushing yards to opposing offenses. They had no talent whatsoever. Granted, they still struggled offensive line and defensive line last year, but to knock off TCU, to knock off Nebraska, both teams that were looking to go to bowls, right? To knock those off in the early part of the season, that is a huge accomplishment. So they can get to 6 wins. Again, whether Deion is there or not, ultimately doesn't matter. For Colorado as a whole, that would be a huge accomplishment. But in order to get to 5.5, 6 wins, it's on Deion, because is he going to be checked in or checked out once they lose their first game?
That's a really good point, right? They had the 3-win run to start last year, and then once the wheels started to come off, they really came off in a large way. And if they don't get off to that illustrious of a start, if they go 1-2, or they go 2-1, or whatever it looks like, but it's not perfect to begin, how do they continue that through the long grind of what I consider to be a very difficult Big 12 football schedule that we'll talk about in just a moment? For Colorado as a program, Joe, you love to speak about the days for the Buffs back in the 90s and late 80s, one of the most successful college football programs in that span. But in the last decade and a half, no siree. Throw out the 2020 season, where teams could get to a bowl game if they just wanted to play in a bowl game and did not have a lot of negative or a lot of positive COVID tests, I should say. So we throw out 2020. In the 15 years since 2008, Colorado has reached 1 bowl game. That was the Alamo Bowl back in 2016 after a 10-win season. 1 bowl game. That's it. They've gotten to 6 wins once in the 15 years, excluding 2020, when they only played 6 games. So for this program, what a successful year bowl eligibility and a 6-6 record would be. For Deion Sanders, year over year, it would be improvement. But with so much attention comes expectation. And is the true expectation, as Deion even himself said yesterday, Joe, just wins and losses, where his wins are deemed more significant and his losses are deemed even more powerful than that? That I find to be the fascinating case study for Colorado this year.
Me as well. In the 2016 last bowl game, they were 10-3 under Mike McIntyre and lost to Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They got railroaded in the Alamo Bowl. So, that was the last successful season they had 8 years ago, right? And they started out last year great. They looked like they were headed on their way. And Deion's absolutely right. Nothing that Deion says is ultimately wrong. He's a straight shooter. It just comes down to, again, is he going to change his mind, or when Shiloh and Shador do move on from the program and his family's no longer there, is he going to want to move on, or is he going to want to stay in Colorado? And again, I think it's a question that needs to be answered. Right now, it seems like he wants to stay, but you can never say never. You know, I mean, I thought he would stay a little bit longer at Jackson State. I ultimately thought if Mike Norvell didn't, you know, succeed at Florida State the past couple of seasons, he would have made the jump back to his alma mater, would have been a perfect fit for Florida State back then.
Yeah, and you're not wrong, probably, Joe, in that thought, right, of what they would have been able to do if Florida State had not resurfaced back to this level under Mike Norvell, but back-to-back double-digit win seasons, of course, last year with how great it was for FSU. I don't know if we'll get a, you know, clear determination from Deion Sanders, and if this season does not go great and it's a 3-6 start for Colorado entering their final 3 weeks, will those questions be asked? Hey, when Shador and Shiloh and Travis Hunter, your other son, as you call him, start to make that move from the program, probably two of those three, Shador and Travis, going to be a top 10 pick in the 2025 NFL draft. Are you committed to remaining in Boulder and figuring out this program? We'll see. That's all a part of the narrative conversation, Joe. And that's the interesting dynamic you have to kind of navigate for CU. Fair or unfair, they bring it upon themselves because of that media attention that Deion Sanders has been doing since the 80s when he was at Florida State and then drafted into the National Football League. But when it comes to the actual football, to the X's and O's, just looking at the slate for CU, it is not easy. Again, the North Dakota State opener, an FCS team, Colorado still more than a touchdown favorite. That standalone national game, at least in a national window, not a standalone game, but that game in primetime, Thursday, August 29th, to kick off week number one. Not an easy game, but still more than a touchdown favorite against the Bison, a game they should win. But unlike last year, this year they have to go on the road to Lincoln to take on Nebraska in a renewal of that Big 8 rivalry. Both you and I expect the Cornhuskers to be a lot better. Hey, if Nebraska loses that game, good luck to Matt Rhule in terms of trying to really set the table for year number two. Then they have to go to Fort Collins to take on Colorado State in the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's a rivalry game. We know there's bad blood there. And then they get into their Big 12 schedule. 9 games, Joe, in the Big 12 this year. 7 of the 9 opponents that Colorado plays have 7 of the 8 best prices to win the Big 12. UCF, Kansas State, Arizona, Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. That's a very, very difficult conference slate in their first year back into the Big 12.
It is, again, and it's going to come down to interior line play. I mean, they play Oklahoma State, no easy task. We know that even though Alan Bowman's there, that Ollie Gordon's coming back, and you heard Mike Gundy say give him 50, 60 carries, you know, in terms of each and every ball game. They're going to have to shut down the run. How physical can the defense be? They did get better in run support, not much better, but they were at least admirable middle of the road. If they can at least continue that, where they're not giving up 40 points per game, then with Shador and that offense of Travis Hunter, you should be able to outscore a majority of your opponents. Winning a Big 12 championship in year number one, especially with conference realignment, is not going to be easy. We saw four teams in the conference struggle mightily, and not one of them made it to a bowl game. So that's something else that we got to keep in mind, even though Colorado is familiar with the landscape.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. It's a great point, right? The difference being, though, the four newcomers last year in the Big 12, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Central Florida, they were coming from a non-power conference level, now an elevation in its game. Colorado at least played in the Pac-12 and has remained a power conference team. But nobody last year in the Big 12 conference of the newcomers did well. UCF has the best record. They were 3-6. Houston, BYU, and Cincy, 2 wins for Houston in conference, 2 wins for BYU in conference, just a 1-8 record for the Bearcats, who, of course, had a complete remake last year, but played in the college football playoff not all that long ago. And, Lisi, the schedule is so difficult for Colorado, and there are the issues that CU needs to fix just from a football perspective. Deion Sanders makes no bones about it. He has not developed his program in the typical way. It is not player development from the high school level, taking those recruits and garnering them into your program with its culture. It has been a professional-like model, embracing free agency, embracing the transfer portal. Players leave, players come. It's an open revolving door, but I think it's a tough way to build roster connectivity. I do. It's my personal opinion. Maybe you disagree. There is great talent on the roster. Shador Sanders is one of, if not the best quarterback in the Big 12. Travis Hunter is the best two-way player and one of the best athletes all in college football. but it's still very difficult for a CU team that was awful running the football last year, was not great on the defensive side of the ball, and allowed 56 sacks, the second most in all of the FBS level that featured 133 teams a year ago. They have made improvements on the offensive line. They need to keep Shedeur Sanders upright. We'll continue the conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So the Colorado conversation following Big 12 Media Days, the 2 days in Las Vegas have now wrapped up. Still going in Las Vegas, Mountain West Media Days. Look at the Mountain West Conference in just a moment. But Lisi Guy, because you weren't here Tuesday and Wednesday, what were your overall impressions, some other big storylines from Big 12 Media Days that caught your eye?
Well, just, you know, again, the Gundy situation, obviously, and I know you and I talked about it behind the scenes. And then, you know, my guy, Joey McGuire, you know, I come in and he's optimistic. His team has 18 starters coming back. They fell behind on the odds from 10 to 1 now to 14 to 1. I got to be honest with you. And I know, you know, Carver tells me I'm on the payroll there in Lubbock, but I don't care. I think they're a team that potentially has a shot, along with a multitude of others, to challenge for a Big 12 championship. I like Taj Brooks. I like Brennan Morton. And I just love the culture that Joey McGuire has brought that program. I mean, again, there's stability. There's a coach that the players buy into. And again, he's a riverboat gambler. He's a little like Bobby Bowden in his early part of his career, where we see a ton of risk for huge opportunity and rewards. And that's all I could ask about in regards to the Red Raiders in terms of Media Days.
You love that approach. You love all of that. So I appreciate that for you as well. Lisi Guy, what I find so fascinating about Texas Tech is the fact they got Taj Brooks back, right? And they have the ability there, I think, to really make some noise. Taj Brooks, one of the five leading rushers in the country a season ago. He was a all Big 12 preseason offensive team selection. He is going to be back. He is going to pace Texas Tech. And listen, Joey McGuire has built in that culture in Lubbock that you have to buy into. You just do. It is contagious within his conference and within his program, excuse me, and in a conference that we both expect Joe to be incredibly competitive. If you are Texas Tech and you're in the top half of the league from the odds perspective, 14 to 1 on the Red Raiders, seventh best price to win the conference title on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you're in a really good spot. I completely agree with you. You mentioned Cam Rising, Joe, to start off the show. Did you not like his comments about the Holy War and trying to go to Provo and whoop their tail, if you know what I'm saying? You didn't like that? That's the beauty. It's one of the few good things in conference realignment as you look around the country. A reunion of rivals. In the SEC, it's Texas and Texas A&M, one of the longest standing rivalries in college football that they haven't played since 2011. It's Utah and BYU back in the Holy War. You didn't like that?
No, that I liked. I listened to Winningham, and he just seemed like a dud to me. And I understand he's a little bit older, doesn't look that way, and in terms of taking great care of himself.
Looks like he's on the Joe Lisi plan.
Yeah, exactly. I hope to look like that at 64. But, you know, Winningham to me, and the reason why I bring that up is because of, you know, where they're at in terms of the head coach in waiting. We know that situation has already been named. And why the timing of it, right? You know, we have a conference realignment. We have Utah right on the top of the board in regards to the Big 12 odds, you know, shortest number. They come from the Pac-12 where they basically dominated and won Pac-12 championships with Kyle Whittingham. And now their quarterback's coming back from a major ACL injury from a year and a half ago, and he just seems like, I don't know, if I'm judging Gundy and I'm judging Joey McGuire and I'm judging, you know, just the intensity of Deion, what it means to play in the Big 12, I was sort of left, you know, wanting more from Kyle Whittingham. You know, I don't know. That's the one question mark I have. Is he all bought in this season? I said it throughout the week, and I'll say it again, Ben. it sort of reminds me at the end of Chris Peterson's career, where Chris Peterson walked away and, you know, he had family issues, but he walked away from Washington. And during that last regular season, they limped to an 8-5 record. They were picked at the start to win the Pac-12. It reminds me similar, to at least now in the offseason, to that type of situation.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, Joe. I don't question Kyle Whittingham in terms of the program that he has built. 19 years at Utah, about to be year number 20. He and Gundy tied for the second longest tenured head coaches at the FBS level, about to embark on year number 20, only behind Kirk Ferentz, who is about to head into year number 26 in Iowa City. But with that said, right, Scott Wetzel brought up the point that it was the idea that Kyle Whittingham's not really going to be at the helm all that much longer. He referenced wanting to be with his grandkids, missing out on so much life. I don't think it affects Utah this year. I still think they are going to be gunning for that conference championship and rightfully are booked as the favorites, despite it being the Utes' first year in the Big 12. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Media Days is often all about pumping things up, all about optimism, all about just celebrating things from a PR perspective of we're the greatest, we're fully bought in. You didn't get that enthusiasm necessarily from Kyle Whittingham, despite him, you know, being a staple of consistency there in Salt Lake. Dave Aranda made it pretty clear cut yesterday, Joe, asked about Baylor's recent run of success in recruiting. What's the reason why? And Dave Aranda said, we're paying players. I love when coaches keep it real, and Dave Aranda is certainly that.
Yeah, another coach on the hot seat, unfortunately, yep. Had great success in the early part of his career, and even with Blake Shapen and Dominic Richardson last year, they failed to live up to expectations. Defense took a step back, and again, there's other programs that are now ahead of Baylor, even though they've recruited fairly well. So he keeps it real. They're throwing out money. We know Waco, you know, used to be the pinnacle of the conference back in the day before the whole situation with Art Briles, but here we are. You know, it's another coach. A lot of coaches in this conference have questions to answer, right? So Dave Aranda is one of them. We'll see if he can turn it around. I think right now for Baylor, just get back to a bowl, and you can't lose to Air Force, right? Get back to a bowl and win a game. You can't get abused and kicked in the teeth like you did, you know, in terms of that game a couple of years ago. And I'll just throw another coach out. Keep an eye out for Willie Fritz. Great coach, great optimism, great quarterback, I believe, in Donovan Smith. 3.5 win total, very light. Yeah. They can exceed that in year one.
A hugely low win total for Houston. 3.5. The over has the juice at -142. Of course, the Houston Cougars team last year in year number one in the Big 12 that only had 4 wins in total and just 2-7 in conference play. We'll talk about the non-power conference level in an interesting day in Las Vegas. The Mountain West there for Mountain West Media Days. And then the Pac-12 keeping a pseudo-media day going after hours with the Beavs and Cougs. That's next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, Mountain West Media Day, starting yesterday, also in Las Vegas. They continue on this Thursday as well. Joe, we have talked about the non-power conference level and how there is now a seat at the table, an opportunity to dance into the postseason, into the college football playoff because of the new structure and the expanded field of 12, 5 automatic berths for the 5 highest-ranked conference champions. It's not exactly slotted into the Power Four champs in one group of 5, but as we know how rankings will work, that's probably what it's going to be. But still, an opportunity for a non-power conference champion to get into the CFP. And many are looking at the Mountain West preseason favorite, that being Boise State. 38 of the first place votes in the Mountain West preseason media poll, and the Broncos, who won the conference last year under interim head coach Spencer Danielson, as they turned it on under Danielson, Danielson, who had the interim tag removed and is now the permanent head coach in Boise, Idaho, are the betting favorites to win the conference title as well. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Mountain West odds are available. Boise State plus 120. Fresno State, second best number at plus 360. Pretty good gap there between the two top teams.
Yeah, there are. And again, Malachi Nelson is the guy, right? You know, Taylor and Green moved on to Arkansas to take over for KJ Jefferson and Sam Pittman. And again, he turned around the program after they fired Avalos. So deserving of the job. But again, what do you get out of Malachi Nelson? We know the huge upside, but we saw Dante Moore struggle with UCLA in terms of his first year. This is potentially a step down from USC, obviously, to Boise State with, you know, a Mountain West Conference opponent. So you would think that he would be able to elevate, but only time will tell. Again, you know, I backed Air Force last year, Ben, and I thought I had everything right. They lose that game to Army. They fall off a cliff. I want to believe in Fresno State. I just, there seem like another team that everybody buys into. I might go back to the well and take a shot on Air Force. Even though they let me down last year, I'm willing to back the triple option again. And I told you, you know, it would take a perfect ride, but in this type of setting with 12 teams, if you could get an Air Force, an Army, a Navy to be undefeated, I would love to see the triple option in a one-on-one setting with all the chips in the middle of the table in terms of go big or go home. I'm betting on Air Force again in 2024.
Air Force 13-1, Joe, to win the conference. Fourth best price. There are three teams at a 5-1 number or less. Boise State, Fresno State, and UNLV, who was the surprise team under Barry Odom last year in Las Vegas that made it all the way to the conference title game before coming up short against the Broncos. But Air Force, that fourth best price and fourth in the preseason media poll as well. The odds pretty close for the Mountain West preseason media poll as they are to the actual votes in the media poll. Should say. Yesterday as well, Joe, in Las Vegas, the Pac-12, although it is mostly done, still keeping up the a pseudo media day yesterday, calling it After Hours with the Beavs and Cougs, presented by the Pac-12 at the Bellagio. That would be Oregon State and Washington State taking center stage. Some humorous images yesterday out of the Cougs mascot up there, both Jake Dickert and Trent Bray, the new head coach for Oregon State, out there on the stage. New commissioner in the conference, Teresa Gold, saying that there would be an open bar last night in Las Vegas, because if anybody deserves a drink, it's the Pac-12 over the past year, and I detect no lies in that statement. Lisa, got Oregon State and Washington State still keeping it up.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that they did that. I also love the fact that everybody showed up. I mean, you know, you could at least do that in Vegas, right? Give them their respect. I mean, programs that were left for dead and buried. And we talk about Dickert and Bray, right? You know, in terms of their first year, get to a bowl game. That is the biggest and ultimate test. Can they do it? I think Oregon State has an easier road because of the returning talent. What is it, Gull Branson? I like him. He's admirable at the very least. He's an experienced guy, a pretty good passer. Defense, I think Oregon State gets six guys coming back, and they're very physical on the offensive line. So, you know, I just want to see both of those programs survive. Where they go from here, Mountain West or any other conference, wish them the best. But I tell you what, Klevakoff really hung them out to dry.
Yeah, he certainly did, and Larry Scott before him. It's how they can only really kind of blame themselves. Jake Dickert, I thought, had a great line yesterday. He's the head coach at Wazoo. We were the first to have this happen to us. We will not be the last. Talking about the idea that conference realignment is certainly not done. He remains in Wazoo. Trent Bray, longtime and really productive linebacker for Oregon State, the D.C. the last few years, takes over the reins in Corvallis. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, starting at noon Eastern time here on Sports Grid Radio.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.